to appreciate Jesus. Appreciate Him.
Glorify Your name, Lord.
He is mighty.
Blessed be Your name, Lord. We worship You.
He is mighty.
Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You.
Give Him the praise. Put your hands together for Jesus. Is that how you are celebrating for Jesus? Hallelujah. You are caught at this part. In this session, you are part of those that will testify.
Amen.
You hear the testimony. People living here after the last sermon, and testimonies began to rush. The same thing is going to happen to you today. As you leave this place, you will walk into your testimonies.
Amen.
One thing about the prophetic atmosphere is, when you find yourself around that atmosphere, anything is possible.
Yes.
Anything is what?
Possible.
That is why Saul found himself in the environment of the prophetic, and he began to prophesy. I decree over your life today. You see, listen to me. Whether I speak to you, don't base your faith on "he must prophesy to me." No. Base your faith on whether I speak to you or not. The fact that you are here, the fact that God is here, the fact that He is moving, the fact that the presence of God is here, your life will never remain the same again. So this is the kind of prayer you should pray. And that's where you should base your faith on. Because sometimes the word of God arrives to us without saying anything. The word comes without what? Saying anything. But you just know that the word has arrived. But nothing is being said. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
I told you last Sunday, I said Jesus entered the house of Lazarus, Zacchaeus. No sermon, no preaching, no prophecy. The word came to his house and did not say anything. Yet, Zacchaeus had something. So even when the word is not saying anything to you, try to hear something. Because in the realms of the spirit, silence is a message. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Silence is a what?
Message.
It's a message. That is why I know today, your life will never remain the same again.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Quickly, we are going to go into the word. But before we do that, I would like to make an announcement. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. By the special grace of God, next month, being the month of February 12th, we are going to have a marriage ceremony here. Celebrate Jesus. You are not celebrating Jesus. And you are believing God for it. And you are clapping anyhow. Hallelujah. So, we give God the glory. The man and the woman, they are with us here. They are part of us. They are our sons, son and what? Daughter. They are part of us, part of KHM family. And I want to really commend the marriage committee. They are doing a great work. Please put your hands together for them. If you see any successful marriage that takes place here, you must know that the marriage committee has played a vital role in making that marriage a reality. Seriously, they have proven to be so dedicated. They give their time, dedication, their attention through counseling, through follow-up prayers, to make sure that they that want to get married are set, ready for their union. So permit me, please, let me call Mr. Yerima to stand on his feet, and Ms. Rejoice, please stand so that the church can see you. Please appreciate them wherever you are. Amen. If you are believing God for marriage, you are connecting, you receive it. I say you receive it. Hallelujah. So please, they are one of us, they are part of us, they are part of the family. And by God's grace, next month we are going to join them as husband and wife. And also, please, they are soliciting your support in every area. The entire church, the church groups, every department of the church is being welcome to play your role in this marriage. Also, if you want to support them financially, you know, marriage is a big thing. It's a what? It's a big thing. Sometimes if you don't even write the list, you may forget some things. There are so many. So please, show them love. You can meet them after the service. You can try to get connected to them. Please, I want to support you in prayers, financially, with my strength, connection, whatever you can do. The Lord bless you as you do that in Jesus' name. Thank you. You may be seated. Pray for Jesus once more. Amen. Hallelujah. And how many of you know that marriage is a program? It's a what? It's a program. That means apart from the groups, they're also inviting every member and follower of this ministry to be present on that day. Hallelujah. Whoever you support, whatever you support, you attract. Yes. You support celebration, you attract celebration. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Quickly, the title of my message today: are you ready for God's word? Are you ready for God's word? If you are ready, wave your hands. Let me see. How many of you enjoy hearing God's word? Let me see. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Some people enjoy prophecy. You will soon meet us. What?
Meet us.
But the problem is we will be ahead of you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We'll be in primary one while we are graduating from the university. So that's the problem. That's the problem. So catch up with us. Don't be left behind. Is that clear? Title of my message today: the teaching ministry. The teaching what?
Ministry.
I can't hear you.
The teaching ministry.
I can't hear you.
The teaching ministry.
The teaching what?
Ministry.
The teaching ministry. Now, before we read our proof text, I would like you to know that in the Bible there are so many ministries.
they have been made available by the Lord for the perfection of the saints. There are some ministries that the Holy Ghost has established in men. The one thing you must know is, whenever you see a compilation, a gathering of things, there is always what is important. How do you know that? Whatever you gather, there must be a priority. Purity is very important. That is why Martha, Mary received Jesus into their house. Martha was busy cooking, which is good. She was busy preparing for him meal to eat, is very good. But go to your house, make sure you prepare. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's very good for Martha to do that. Because that's one of her role to serve. But then Mary sat at his feet and was listening to his teaching. And Martha came out and said, "Master," she was so angry. She couldn't react that much because Jesus was there. So she said, "You are here. I expect you as a teacher. You should have spoken to her, correct her. To go in and help me as I prepare." The mistake Martha made was that, hadn't been is any other visitor, she would be right. But this visitor that just entered the house is not like any other visitor. Is the Lord himself. The Lord over the food she's cooking, over the pot, over the entire kitchen, the house itself, is the Lord of all. So he's different from just any other guest. I didn't believe it was somebody else. He's very, very open for her to say that. Then she said, "Master, are you not going to talk to her?" Then Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you worry about so many things, but one thing is needful. Though you have so many things on ground, but one thing is needful." One thing is important. There is something that is important among those things. Just like if you are cooking. If you want to cook a delicious fried rice, for example. Apologies to those ones that cannot do without food. You hear me saying this? Stop thinking about food, please. Hallelujah. When you want to cook a delicious fried rice, cabbage can make it more delicious. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying.
Yes, sir.
Cabbage can add taste to the rice you are eating. Am I saying the right thing?
Yes, sir.
Chicken can add taste. Oh, you can hear, I've caught someone. He is caught already. You can't deny it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Chicken can also add taste to the rice. But try to substitute water from all the equation. What you have is other ingredients, but the most important thing is not there.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. So, one thing is needful. Before you get other things, get the one thing that is needful first. Then get other things. That's why he said, "Seek ye first." There is a first there. You can go for the second letter, you can go for the third letter, but make sure you have this first. What sustains a building is the foundation.
Yes, sir.
Forget about the windows you see, the doors you see, the beautiful paint you see. They are all those things that beautify the house. But one thing is needful. If the foundation is faulty, what can the righteous do about it?
Yes, sir.
It's like a house that is being built on a sand. When storm comes, it cannot stand. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So now he said to her, one thing is needful, and guess what? Your sister has gotten it. She knew that by sitting at my feet, she may not have the privilege to see me all the time. I'm a busy man. You may not see me in your house tomorrow. In fact, very soon, you may not see me in the world. So the time you have, little time you have with me, utilize it. Don't go here and there looking for food. Come and get the most perfect food. Come and drink the water that will take away quench all your thirst forever. Am I talking to somebody right here?
Yes, sir.
So we have several ministries in the Bible, but one ministry is greater, and that is the teaching what? Ministry. I know some people will expect me to say the prophetic ministry, the evangelical ministry, miraculous ministry. Those things are important, but not the needful. You get what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
The teaching ministry is the most important ministry. Why do I know it's the most important? How did I come to this conclusion? Because the Creator of all things said, I exalt my word above my name. So if the word is exalted above the name, if you preach the word, you are preaching the greatest ministry. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Every other ministry in the Bible is categorized under the name of Jesus. Only one ministry is different and above. And that is the word.
Yes, sir.
That is why when the word came, when the word became flesh, when Jesus came to the earth, you don't see him saying, in the name of Jesus, come on. You don't see him saying, in the name of Jesus, stand up and walk. Because when the word is there, the name is suspended. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
There is no need to even mention the name when the word is there. Because the word is the carrier of the name. You getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Are we together?
Yes, sir.
The teaching what? Ministry. Second Chronicles chapter 15, verse 3. I know some people were asking, Chronicles, is it in the Bible? Like, I remember somebody asked me, said, you said now. He said, which Bible? Is it new one or the one we have? I said, yes, sir. All this lamentation, people don't know, because they don't go there. They don't see breakthrough, prosperity, prophecies there. So they don't read that kind of books. How many times have you opened the book of Nahum and you read? I'm asking you, how many times? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes. 2 Chronicles 15, verse 3, King James. Please listen to this as he reads.
2 Chronicles chapter 15 verse 3.
Uh-huh.
Now for a long season, Israel has been without the true God.
Now he said for a long time, for a long time, Israel has been without what? A true God. That means they don't have a true what? God for a long time. Uh-huh.
And without a teaching priest.
And without a what? Teaching what? Prophesying priest? Healing priest?
No.
Deliverance priest?
No.
Without a teaching priest. For a long time, Israel suffered. Is in chaos. Because they don't have a true God, and they don't have a teaching what? Priest.
And without law.
And without what? Law. Now, when you are reading Bible, you should know that it's not a literature you are reading, it's not a novel that you are reading. That means, for you to actually know what the verse is saying, you have to slowly read it. And allow everything within you to hear what you are reading. If you read this verse by the Spirit of God, you will notice that the Bible is not saying they don't have God. The Bible is saying it's the true God they don't have. They may have God, but not the true one. Again, if you read by the Spirit, you will notice that the Bible is not saying they don't have a priest. The Bible is saying it is the priest that teach they don't have.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
So they have God, but not a true God. They have priest, but not a teaching priest. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Are we together?
Yes, sir.
So it is possible to have a priest with you and still remain in error, in problems, in afflictions, simply because the priest is not a teaching priest. Am I talking to someone right there?
Yes, sir.
So God was still there, but he wasn't in his totality. He wasn't showing them the necessary love he's supposed to show them. And that makes him not to be true to them. You can deceive yourself, but the truth is, the God that was in the Garden of Eden, though is still the same God outside the Garden of Eden, but they are not the same. Because the God in the Garden of Eden comes down every cool of the evening to fellowship with Adam. But the God outside the garden only sends angels. That tells you that he is still their God, but not the true God they're supposed to have.
Yes, sir.
Am I talking to somebody right here?
Yes, sir.
We all can have Jesus, but then there is difference in our Jesus. There is the true Jesus and there is just Jesus. People don't understand this. That is why you see a born again Christian with the Holy Ghost in him or her, you see. And a different person with the Holy Ghost comes to pray
for that Christian with the Holy Ghost but is sick, his own Holy Ghost goes to heal the Christian with his own Holy Ghost. Am I talking to somebody right here?
Yes, sir.
That tells you we can have the same Holy Ghost, but the quality is different. The way my Holy Ghost can move may not be the way your Holy Ghost can move. Yes. We all can have Jesus, but maybe your Jesus is sleeping in the boat.
Yes, sir.
Your own Jesus may be sleeping, while my own may be active. We can have Jesus in every church. He is everywhere. But you don't find true Jesus in every church. True Jesus, the true one, is not everywhere.
Yes, sir.
He reserves that presence that he's supposed to display only for few places. You get what I'm saying? I'm trying to explain to you why the Bible says they have no true God. The Bible is not saying they don't have God. It is the true one they don't have. Go to the graveyard, you see born again Christians with the Holy Ghost being killed by witches. The Holy Ghost is there. But that Holy Ghost is a dormant one. It's inactive. It's like you have an account, but it's blocked. I don't know if you are understanding what I'm saying.
Yes,
it's like you have a bank account, but then it has been suspended. Is still an account, but it is not active. Are you getting me? Am I teaching somebody right here? Am I teaching somebody right here?
Yes, sir.
What is impartation? Impartation is me allowing my own Jesus to talk to your own Jesus to start working.
Yes, sir.
Am I talking to somebody?
Yes, sir.
That is impartation. It is when I allow my Jesus to talk to your Jesus, it is time to give this person a job. It is time to give this person his prosperity.
Oh, yeah.
Then my own Jesus talks to your own Jesus, and your own Jesus begins to walk.
Yes, sir.
Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
That is impartation. If not, what I have right, why am I standing on this altar? Why not you? The answer is simple. All of us, you that you are seated there, what I have, you have it. In fact, the same quality, everything the same. Jesus, you have Jesus in his totality in you. The same Holy Ghost that I have, you have that Holy Ghost exactly as you are seated right there. If there's any difference, the difference is in whether your own Holy Ghost is active or not.
Yes, sir.
If there is a blockage for your own Holy Ghost, your own Holy Ghost may not function to bless you. Are you getting me?
Yes, sir.
Are we together?
Yes, sir.
So sometimes people think, I'm not supposed to be teaching you this, but I will say it. Sometimes people think when we come to someone to pray for him, we always release healing anointing. No. People don't know. People don't know. Let me give you a secret that you don't know. There is a court in the realm of the spirit. And for your information, there is what we call School of the Spirit. It's a complete college where you enroll in the Spirit and you are being taught how to do things. In that school, we are being taught a course. And this course is how to take over the atmosphere of an environment. Meaning, when I have five believers or two or three believers around me, just like how you are here, you are seated, I can walk to the sick and not use my anointing. I will use your anointing, you that you are seated close. I will use your anointing to heal the sick, yet you don't even know it's your anointing that is healing the sick.
Yes, sir.
Are you getting what I said?
Yes, sir.
Or I meet a sick person. He's saying, "Man of God, I'm sick, pray for me." Then I use his anointing to heal him. Then he thinks I brought a new anointing to him, not knowing that I only activated what is already in him to heal him. But it's because he may not see what I'm seeing. So in that course, we are being taught how to navigate the power of God. We are more than two here. We are more than three here. If I can drop, if I drop every anointing that is on me, miracles will still take place. You know why? I can use your own anointing. Why you are seated here? While you are seated there, I can use your anointing to pray for you. That is why you see Jesus asking people, telling people, your faith has made you whole. It's not my own. I didn't use my faith. It's your faith. You traveled to come and meet me to heal you, not knowing that you carry the faith that can heal you. By the time you meet me, I do not release faith to heal you. I use your faith to heal you. So when you hear Jesus saying your faith has made you whole, people don't get it. It's a spiritual code. People don't understand.
Yes, sir.
That is why if a witch doctor fire an arrow at me now, I don't need to go to my room to fire another one. It is the one he fires that goes back.
Yes, sir.
Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
If I fire my own, I am telling him we are mate. I will allow him to take his time, organize all his charm, make all his incantation, say all the evil he wants to happen to me. He never knows he's coming back. He's just on a journey. It will come back. By the time he fires, then it's the same arrow now that I will use to go back. Then while he's seated, he will find his own demon that he sent to me will appear before him. But this time around, not laughing.
Yes, sir.
Say, Oga, are you back? Did you do what I asked you to do? Are you not the one that said, "Pow!" Oh, the demon has already been programmed to work against him. His own charm will fight him. It's what I call absolute power. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
That is why, that is how God fights. That is how he fights. That's why he said, all things work for good, including evil. That means allow the devil to do his evil. God will just turn the evil for good. That's yes. Absolute power. That's why when you are saying no attack should come to you, God is saying, it's the attack I used to bless you. If you say attack should not come, how will the blessing now come? Because when they send the attack, it is what God will use. As they are expecting you to wake up tomorrow morning dead, they see you receiving a new car. Ah! They come out of their house. We expect to hear cry, but this is celebration. A car has come to the house. They will ask their, you know, they are just like you are sitting there. They have their control room. They ask the one who is firing. The one in charge. You know, when army they are moving, you know that their car. There's someone who is controlling that. They will ask that person, you, are you sure what you sent is dead? Say, I know, man. It's my work. It's death I sent. How comes we are seeing a car? Then him too, you fold his hand and say, I can't explain this. Because when this arrow left me, it was there. But I don't know what happened later. That is how God blesses his children. He waits for the enemy to gather money. When he finished gathering, then he collected and gave him.
Amen.
Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
You collect it and then hand over to you. You eat what you have not worked for. That's absolute authority. If God was, some people think God every day is fighting the devil when they meet on the way, give us space, then they'll start fighting. God is not his mate. Even the devil doesn't want that because he knows it will not end well. Are you getting me?
Yes, sir.
God doesn't fight the devil directly. No. He waits for the devil to launch his attack. Then he uses his attack against him.
Yes, sir.
Start living that kind of life. Stop running away from enemies. Wait for them. Let them fight. Wait for If you have this understanding, you will not be going around fighting people. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Are we together?
Yes, sir.
I'm not supposed to be telling you this, but I'm just giving you some hints so that you understand. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So when it comes to God, they have God, but not a true God. When it comes to priests, they have priest, but not a teaching priest. Are we together? Are we together?
Yes, sir.
So, at the end of the verse, he now said, they were without law. Why is the verse ending like that? It is because if you don't have a teaching priest who will lead you to the true God, that will end up giving you a law. If you don't have Moses, who will get the commandment for you?
Okay.
So look at the graph now, the diagram. It's starting from what? The true God, and then what? Teaching priest, and then what? Law. So God has to be there to call his servant. From calling his servant, then the servant produces the law.
Yes, sir.
So if you minus the true God, minus the teaching priest, what you have is absence of law. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Are we together?
Yes, sir.
I don't care whether you are a priest today and your work is to prophesy. If you are a prophesying priest, if you are a healing priest, if you are a deliverance priest, the Bible is not talking about you. This portion of the scripture is for your elder brothers, not for you. What I'm saying is, if you are a priest simply because you prophesy, if you are a priest simply because you heal, then you are not part of what we are talking about here. Because the one, the scripture, the Bible had to emphasize teaching priests so that you don't think all priests are the same. Don't look at them dressed in their priestly attire and think all of them are the same. There are ranks. And the one who is leading is the teaching one. Sir, how many miracles did John the Baptist perform? Yet Jesus opened his mouth and said, among all that was born of a woman, there is no one, including Elijah, that brought down fire from heaven. He said, no one is greater than John because of how qualitative his ministry is. You find John on the mountain, he's not performing miracles there. His ministry is bigger than all of them. Moses, Ezekiel, David, all those great guys we read about, they are doing mighty miracles. Here comes the Lord over all of them. He comes and he tells you, look, if I ask you to say who is greater, you think it's Elijah. You think it's Moses. You think it's David. But allow me, the Lord, to tell you who is greater, because it's not by appearance. It's by the Lord himself knowing who is greater. He said, as you look at all these prophets, no one is greater than John. Yet you see him on the mountain, not performing miracles. But the weight of his ministry is greater than all.
Yes, sir.
Only Jesus' ministry is above John's ministry. Every other ministry is lower than it. Including Joshua, who stopped the sun from, he said, stand still, is still not greater than John. So that means if you judge rank by the miracles a man perform, you are using a wrong method.
Yes, sir.
If you judge rank, if you try to know who is greater based on the miracles, you are judging wrong, because if it is based on the miracles, Jesus wouldn't have said John is greater. That means there must be something he is looking at that others don't have. The weight of his ministry. When you see him, what does he say? The only thing he says, repent, for the kingdom of God is here. That's the only thing he says. The most shortest sermon, yet carries weight. He repeats it over, 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 over. From morning till night, if you attend his church, that's what you keep on hearing. If you go to John's ministry for miracle, you may not have. If you go to John's ministry for healing, there may not be healing there. Because the only thing you see the guy saying is, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. I know you. Once you enter that ministry, hey, you will not come back again. So I met a crazy prophet. The only thing he's saying is repent. You know, God is at hand. Say, no miracles. No miracles. Me, I came with my problems. A lot of problems. 99 problems. I came with. With all my demons. He didn't cast them. The only thing he was saying is, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. Yet you find the Lord, the King of Kings, coming to confirm that this guy you think is empty carries what every other person does not carry. I don't care how sharp you are in the prophetic. Even when I go to conferences, when ministers are preaching, ministering, I sit down and I watch. When they call minister, so person, he comes out. Can I prophesy? Yay! People carry chair. Break it. Where can I look for stool to break? People are just breaking things. Prophesy! do something crazy for Jesus. You see, they carry somebody up. As people are getting excited, I don't get me. You see me quiet. I'll be observing. I wait for the person to finish all his prophecy, finish all his, all what he was doing, scatter everywhere, go into the spirit, sleep there, go back. I want to finish everything. By the time he comes back and I see him dropping the mic, I already know he's wrong. No conversation. I may not sit him down and ask him, what is your level in the spirit? No. I already know he's wrong. The 5,000 men, Jesus gave them miracle bread. Where were they? Only 120 were in the upper room. If miracle is what will sustain a ministry, Jesus has lost members. Let's calculate it. 5,000 dropped back to 120. That's a loss in the physical realm. That's not a promotion. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, there is nothing like promotion here. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. So the rest of the thousands now, they ate bread. But that's not the real thing they're supposed to have. Who stayed with him? The 120. Ask them, what made you to stay? They will tell you, is the word.
Yes, sir.
There is something he's telling us that is greater than the bread he gives. When he opens his, when Jesus gets to any place, because one of the proof that the Holy Ghost is resting on you is wisdom. When Jesus gets into any place and sit down, you start hearing him saying heavenly words. No matter how intelligent you are, brilliant you are, if you find yourself in his presence, you must acknowledge that this man is coming from God. Because what he's saying cannot be gotten from university. It's not there. It's not there. It's surely from above. You look at Peter, uneducated. Peter is not educated. But watch as Peter speaks, you will see wisdom being displayed. Am I talking to somebody right here? I know this message, those ones that are here for prophecy, they will not like it. They will not what? They will not like it. So I don't care. When I see you display, I know witches can do that. Witch doctors, they can do that also. So I don't get moved. Maybe it's a charm somewhere in your body, I don't know. I don't want to be decided, but I don't know. I want you to preach. Let me hear your word. When I hear your word, I will know where you are coming from. Because I'm telling you this. If you are not genuine, you can't preach God's word. You may jump on the altar, but that's not preaching. That's not teaching. You may develop yourself in a certain way where you have eloquence in speaking, where when you begin to speak, you will say, wow, what, wow, see English, professor, See English. There's no difference between you and lecturer. You can develop yourself like that. That's not the word. That's not the word. What confirms the word is the mysteries that are hidden behind the net. And only those that have, that sit at the center of the heart of Jesus can have access to that secret. Outside of him, you will not get it. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Are we together?
Yes, sir.
The Bible says it's the teaching priest that Israel lacked. They were still prophesying, but God was looking at something they were not looking at. He was looking for who can teach. Who can I use to teach? Guess what? Moses climbed the mountain to get the commandment from God, right? Before Moses came down, what happened? The people met Aaron, they said, what? Make us a God. We don't know what happened to that guy as he climbed the mountain. Right? My question is Aaron not a priest? That means he stopped teaching when Moses left.
Yes, sir.
He dropped from that teaching ministry into something I don't know. To even make the people to start thinking, we need to have another God. Now, let us read Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Romans 10, 13 to 15.
Romans chapter 10, verse 13 to 15. And it says, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord,
shall call upon the name of who? Of the Lord,
shall be saved.
Shall be what? Shall be saved. It didn't stop there.
How then shall they call on him?
He said, how is it possible for them to even know that they need to call on God to save them? How can they do that?
In whom they have not believed.
In whom they have not believed.
And how shall they believe in
how
him?
Shall they believe in this true God we are talking about?
Of whom they have not heard. And how shall they hear without a preacher?
How will they hear if there is nobody to preach to them? Look at the graph there. Before you call upon the name of the Lord, which is the only name that can save you, you need to believe him. How can you believe if you have not heard? Then how can you hear if there is no preacher? Look at the graph now. So the same thing in this verse we read. They don't have a true God, because how can they know that there is a true God if there is no preacher to preach to them about it? And how can they have a law if there is no sermon that tells them they need to have a law? Am I talking to somebody? Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Are we together?
Yes, sir.
So without any apology, I say this. If you find yourself in any church where the pastor does not prioritize the word of God, sorry to say this, you are in the wrong place. Because at the end of the day, you are the one to become the victim. When I was reading my Bible and I come across
this passage. This was years ago. Are you getting what I'm saying? This was what? Was years ago. This verse became alive. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
It became what? Alive to me. Because before I read that verse, there is a way I concentrated on my gift. I'm telling you this, other you know. There's a way I concentrated on my what? On my gift, on the miraculous. I can spend hours prophesying to you. Hours. I can spend hours dwelling on the gift. You know, if it is not there, you think maybe I'm saying it as if it's not there. It's there.
Yes, sir.
I'm giving you the best, right? Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
You will see me going to fasting when I fast. I'll be unlocking some dimensions in the realm of spirit. Unlocking dimensions, 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 dimensions. And as I get to any level in the prophetic, I want to go to the deeper level. I want to go to the deeper level. I want to go to the deeper level. I was just venturing into levels, 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 levels. Some of you don't know there are levels in the prophetic.
Mm.
There are what?
Levels in the prophetic.
For example, now I'm standing here, I can meet you and prophesy to you. But the same thing, I can leave this place, go to my house, take a wine, sit down, cross my leg, and then call and begin to prophesy to people. While I am what? At home. It's a dimension, it's a realm that you can unlock. If you are called to be a prophet, you will unlock it. So I was busy unlocking realms, deeper realms, deeper realms. Deeper realms, deeper realms, deeper realms. Until one day the Holy Spirit said, what are you doing? What are you doing? Are you getting what I'm saying? Then what are you doing? That's when he said, come up hither. You have been operating in a lower realm. Come up. Let me show you something above. Something that can dominate. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Something that can what? That can dominate. Then he gave me this verse. Said, did you see that Israel was in trouble? Because they had no teaching priest. And God himself opened his mouth and said to me, he said, I can give you gifts. I can give you dimensions of the anointing. But that's not what I call the best. I exalt my word above my what? My name. If I, the owner of the name, choose to exalt the word above it. Who are you? To now substitute and exalt the name above the word.
Yes, sir.
Because the name can do crazy things. If I dwell on the name, we will do crazy things. And close service. But as we are going on, we will receive blessing, miracle money, angel, all these things, blah, 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 you go. No wait. The devil will be dancing. He knows that at any time he can destroy you. You are not being built up. You are nothing to him in the realm of the spirit. And that's what pastors don't like, because many pastors want you to depend on them.
Yes, sir.
Though they want you to be looking for them. I'm not like that. I want you to grow. That's my priority.
Yes, sir.
In fact, if you stop looking for me, that's when I will rest. That's when I will rest. Imagine the whole night when you were busy in your blanket, sleeping last night. I didn't close my eye even like this. For even to say I will sleep. In this old way, I have to be praying, be walking for the whole night. Well, if I don't tell you, you will not what?
No.
Sometimes when you see the glory, you don't know where the story is coming from. When you are busy enjoying your blankets, sleeping. I was busy preparing for today without closing the eye. Why? Because our joy is when we see somebody being transformed. Somebody has to be changed, and you'll be that person.
Amen.
I say you will be that person.
Amen.
Today you will be that person.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You will be that person in the name of Jesus. So if you don't have a true God, you don't have a teaching priest, what is the result? Lawless life.
Yes, sir.
It's 1 + 1 = 2. That's the equation. True God plus teaching priest, what do you have? A life that is governed by the Lord. Your life becomes ordered. Are we together? Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Now let me say this as I conclude. We have different laws, right? We have the laws of the land, for example. The laws of what?
Land.
The land. You must create your own laws apart from the laws that God gives you. Hear me as I say this. You must create your own laws. Are we together? Apart from the law, God has what? Given. For example, you don't find traffic rule in the Ten Commandments. It's not there. But when you break the traffic rules, the traffic law, it's not God that will come and fight you. It's a government that will fight you. Are you getting me? Are you getting me?
Yes, sir.
Don't drink dirty water. Don't expose your body to mosquitoes. It's not part of Ten Commandments. Break those laws. Your body receives the punishment, right? Yet God has no problem with you. So understand me when I say create your own what? Your own laws. Inferior laws that are lower than God's laws. That can govern your affairs. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Are we together?
Yes, sir.
God has already set the law of gravity. Right? Try breaking that law. Climb on top of upstairs and say, today, I will break this law of what? of gravity. If you break the law will break your legs.
Yes, sir.
One. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. God has a word for you.
Amen.
And this word has the capacity to change your life.
Amen.
After obeying your laws, physical laws, you also have to obey spiritual laws. Some people don't know that spirit is being governed by laws. The spiritual world is governed by what? By laws. By what?
Laws.
By laws. The same way, if you break a law in Nigeria, you end up in a prison, physical prison. The same way, if you break a spiritual law, you end up in a spiritual what? That is why so many people are in spiritual cages today. Because they fail to obey some certain laws. For example, Jesus opened his mouth and he says, if you are not praying, you are fainting. If you have the Lord over everything telling you that, he said, if you are not praying, you are what?
Fainting.
That means if you stop praying, what are you doing?
Fainting.
Break that law, witches will have access to you, diseases will have access to you, calamities will have access to you. It's because you have broken a spiritual law.
Yes, sir.
Prayer is the key. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the master key. Jesus started with prayer and ended up with prayer. Prayer is the master key. I get what I'm saying? Take your time and reflect on this word. This is a word I have for you today. Though I've not finished, but I've never finished my message because of time. Put your hands together for Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
There's a saying that says, "Proof that God is in a place is not when power is there. But then, when power is not there at all, is indeed proof that God is not there."
Yes, sir.
Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
Proof that God is in a place is not when you see power. No. Power can be any type of power. It's not a proof that God is there. But when you don't see power at all, it is a proof that God is indeed not there.
Yes, sir.
Because where God is, there must be liberty.
Yes, sir.
Freedom.
Yes, sir.
People will be set free. People must receive blessings. This is promise that he has made to us. And today, you will receive the blessings of Abraham.
Amen.
I say you receive the blessings of Abraham.
Amen.
I say you receive the blessings of Abraham.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jump on your feet wherever you are. We are going to pray today. Are you ready to pray?
Yes, sir.
Are you sure you are ready?
Yes, sir.
Nika para sekete. Laini kanoi. Zata. I have some prayer points that are here for us to pray. Number one, God, to give you the ability and the capacity to obey spiritual laws. You can't do it on your own. Your strength is so low. You can't do it on your own. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Open your mouth and begin to pray. My father, give me the grace,
the capacity, the ability. To obey, Jesus, give me the grace,
give me that capacity, Lord Father, Kilo. I ask for your capacity, Lord Father, Jesus. Let your grace come upon me, Lord Father, to obey your spiritual Lord Father, that I will obey your spiritual Lord Father, Kilo. Father, give me that capacity, Lord Father. Give me that capacity, Lord Father. I ask for that capacity, Lord Father. I can never obtain without that capacity, Lord Father. Give me that capacity, Lord Father, to your glory.
In Jesus' mighty name,
we pray.
Amen.
You are going to pray. You are going to ask God in this year, 2022, this new year. The year is still fresh, right? We are still in January, right? In this new year, 2022,
oh God,
let all the material blessings You see, before a new plan, blessing will come to you. But people that are not called to be in your life, because bad company corrupts what? Good character. Is that clear?
Yes,
Jesus said, pour new wine into new wine. So this is a new year. It has to be new. Everything has to be new about you. Are you getting me?
Yes.
You are going to pray. Say, my father.
My father.
Any man.
Or woman.
That is in my life.
To bring problems.
To bring calamity.
To bring affliction.
To bring delay.
Let there be separation.
Between me and them.
Open your mouth and begin to pray.
Oh Jesus, let there be separation.
Let it be a suppression.
my life, for my career, for my family. Lord, let it be suppression. Let it be suppression. Let it be suppression, Lord Jesus. Let it be suppression, Lord Jesus. Let it be suppression.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Now, some of you today, you may be in lack, but that's not your future. This is your present. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
We are going to pray that every